You know, as I was reading your book, Paul, interesting, because for so long, people have always thought that stress was the doomsday killer of people. And the more I began to read your book, I realized, you know, it's not the stress, it's how people handle things.
Well, and it's essential to our health, and that's why this whole new research field that we'll discuss tonight has really begun to look at not what's wrong with us and the stress factors that destroy us, but why it seems to be true that our greatest strengths are usually forged in that crucible of adversity, that we really come to life. I can tell you, as a guy that died three times during cancer and a bone marrow transplant, that I really believe now, George, that we are not fully awake and conscious unless something goes terribly wrong. So we need to start looking at that. We need to start thinking of stress not necessarily as an enemy, but as an essential part of life. And to go beyond the cliches that I'm sure your listeners have heard that have suffered like I have about take it a day at a time and have a positive attitude and mind over matter, it just is much more complex than that.
And you know what? So many people give other people advice like that. They simply say, you know, just, you know, clean your mind, do whatever you have to do, and have a nice day.
Well, that's what they were doing to me, and I hate to sound like a grumpy old scientist here, but here I am lying there dying in the hospital, and they'd come in and say things like, take it a day at a time. Or when I came out of intensive care, when a doctor came in and said, don't get your hopes up, you're going to die anyway. And I began to cry. They sent in a psychiatrist who said I seemed depressed. So it seems to me that we better start looking again at psychology and not accept some of these cliches that have become sort of common to those of us, and this probably includes all of us, who have suffered in our life. And that's why this new field of psychology we describe in the book is looking at what's best and bravest about us and how we need this stress to really become our full, honest, living, joyful self.
Well, when you were in the hospital and they were telling you this horrible news, I mean, was there a moment that you were going to give up when you realized, I can't fight this?
All the time. I was a horrendous patient, and I really suffered because, as you know, I've written a lot of books.
Sure.
They come in and say to me, well, you don't have a positive attitude. You should be thinking positively. What's wrong with you? Don't give up. What you'll hear tonight is our research for the Beethoven factor shows that it is very important to know when to give up. Strength is not only persistence. We talked about three strengths here. There's persistence, there's development and learning, but there's also strength in learning to give up. For example, I can't feel in my fingers after all the chemotherapy and the bone marrow transplant. I was fighting that and going to every possible option I could think of. I finally was freed by just saying, I'm going to give up. And I felt very impatient, George, and very hurt when people would demand of me things when I was trying to heal that they thought met this sort of new age psychobabble rather than letting me heal my way.
Right.
And my attitude and accepting those times when I was down and crying. And I didn't want to be a failure at healing or, my God, a failure at dying. It was bad enough having cancer.
Is it very natural to feel the way you did?
It is, but the thing is, people seem afraid of it. They don't know, and I don't blame them. They don't know what to do when you're really in this. I was as sick as a person could possibly ever be, and they really weren't sure what to say. So they really turned to these platitudes and these barnyard bromides of, and they meant well. I hate to be unappreciative, but they would be saying things like, "You need a positive attitude. You can only think positively."
Yeah.
And that's why I wrote the Beethoven factor, because they asked me, why did you pick Beethoven of all guys? Well, all your listeners know that he wrote his symphony, Ode to Joy, when he was deaf. And he was suffering and dying. I also picked him because he was a jerk. What I mean by that is he was no superhero. He didn't have it all together. He didn't have the perfect attitude. He was as flawed as all of us. So what we'll discuss tonight is the way to deal with life is through this new field called positive psychology, and it's much more than happyology or feel-good stuff. It is studying what is that factor that goes beyond resilience. I don't even ever again want to be called a cancer survivor. I want much more out of life than merely survival, for heaven's sakes.
Surviving alone is not the way to go at it, is it?
It wastes a horrendous amount of energy. And I'm sure you have hundreds of listeners out there that have suffered probably even worse than me. And somehow we think survival's enough. And the data from our research, and you know when I've been on the show, I am not a guru. I am not a feel-good doctor. I am a researcher. And when we studied these people who were the thrivers through crisis, we learned that there were five responses to this terrible adversity. One is what we call kindling, like kindling wood when you burn something. People who made it worse. Then you had the victims, like that old Winnie the Pooh Eeyore character. Poor me. Then you did have the survivors, the people who were just maintaining status quo. Then the thing that psychology researched in great detail, even over here in Hawaii, they studied all the kids on the island of Kauai for a whole year to see about these kids who were resilient, who recovered from some of the terrible things. Mm. Now we've identified a category called thrivers, people who, despite rape, assault, cancer, years in the concentration camp, the people you read about in the book, the man Izzy, who saw his whole family killed before his eyes, who still, in our data, were stronger physically, mentally, and spiritually than those people who had not suffered to near that degree.
They can't be beaten down. They just keep coming back, don't they?
And we got to learn from them, not just learn from what the books are usually about, the dysfunctional people, and I'm going to sound like a cynic again, but psychology became following this philosophy that to err was dysfunctional and to forgive was codependent. And everybody was living either in codependency or denial or recovery, and all those phrases get thrown away around very loosely until now this new field is looking at, wait a minute, maybe dysfunction's pretty good once in a while. Maybe it's okay to have a bad attitude. Maybe that's part of healing. Maybe it's okay to be depressed. Maybe it's okay to feel sorry for yourself. Maybe it's okay to hold your anger in and not always express it. So all these myths we'll talk about tonight are now being, I think, exposed by some good, strong research in this brand new field.
Maybe all those things you said, maybe that's all part of being a human being.
Well, that's what we have to tolerate. I mean, I was bad enough dying, and I didn't want to feel guilty about how poorly I was doing it. I didn't want to feel that I had somehow failed, that I was responsible for not having the right attitude. I can tell your listeners this. I have discovered the secret for why people die. They are mortal. And if we start saying they die because they had a bad attitude, because they weren't thinking correctly, that puts even more pressure on us. And I want your listeners to hear this. I'm not against having a positive attitude or affirmations or visual imagery, whatever works for you.
Right.
I'm against the tyranny of doing it one way according to one way of healing.
Mm. So what you're saying is every individual can do it in their own way.
We get sick our way. We heal our way. And if we don't look at what those factors are that we can talk about tonight, we're just going to be trying to fit into some mold of how you heal, how you cope with the setbacks in life. Adversity is crucial. But I can tell you as somebody who's been there that life begins on the other side of adversity.
Hmm.
That's when the growth can take place.